Everybody have it? I want you to get your Bible out. First of all, let me ask you if you got one. Wave it at me. Wave it, come on. If you got a phone and you're using it, wave it. God have mercy, Barry. I guess you're taking over for Ernie. Go to Romans chapter number 8. I want to preach to you on something tonight. If you go to your Bibles and y'all mark in there when he preaches sermons, I'll bet you anything, Romans 8, 28, 29, 30, 31, I've been wrote down in your Bible a whole bunch and all the way through the book of Romans. I want to preach on it this morning. Here's what I want to preach on this morning. The chemistry of the cross. Can I tell you this? If you ever meet the Jesus of the cross, he is enough. He is enough to take care of everything you have in your life. These verses, when we are doing good, we quote them all the time. But for some reason, when life throws a curveball, we really don't want to hear them. But I really think we ought to grasp what I'll be preaching this morning. Won't you stand? I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to read verse 29 and 30, but you're going to, well, I ain't allowed. Am I allowed to do that? Well, just do it, Sal, and then don't spit on anybody, okay? Just kind of do it while I'm reading it. You don't have to do it loud unless you want to. Do it in your mask. I can't help it. Read verse 28 with me. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now I'll do the rest. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, dear God, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Let me read one more verse. I'm going to let y'all read this one with me too. Not, don't spit, just read. What shall we say to these things? Now do it real loud. If God be for us, who could be against us? You may be seated. When I speak of the chemistry of the cross, my son-in-law, I don't know if he's here this morning, but he is. He's a pharmacist. So he'll be familiar with this passage of Scripture. Where it said, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You know, sodium is a deadly poison if you eat it by itself. And chloride is a deadly poison if you eat it by itself. But if you put them both together, you have what I call table salt. Now, some of you outfit do no salt, less salt. But I want you to know I do all salt. Amen. And Brian, if I could get him up here to testify, he can tell y'all all about your medicines that you take. There's some of y'all taking poison. There's some elements of your medicine that if you took them without the right composition, you would be taking poison. But because people have the brightness and God gave them the wisdom to know how to mix the right chemical with the right medicine and get it all together, it don't kill you, it cures you. I called, well, some of y'all ain't got it yet. Wednesday night, I'll just give reference to this. The children of Israel, I'm going somewhere. The children of Israel came to a place called Marah. Marah. And it was a bitter place. I want you to know there is a lot about life that is bitter. There's a lot that we go through that is bitter. There's a lot of things we face that is bitter. But see, here's what happened. When they got there and they murmured against Moses, Moses cut down a tree. And that tree was put in that bitter water. And it transformed that bitter water. Somebody help me. And made it sweet water. Some things that we go through are not good. But when they are compounded, and I wrote this down, I want to read it. Compound them with the crucible of God's love. And by the chemistry of the cross, it makes our experience wonderful. I would not trade what I have in the cross of Jesus Christ for anything in this world. Oh, this world's not my home. I want you to know something. There's just something about the work of God on Calvary and what He done for us that makes everything okay. Whew. Let me give you three thoughts. Woo. First of all, I want to talk about the determination of His promise. Will y'all look these verses carefully? I'm going to dissect them for you. First of all, I want you to notice the certainty of the promises. Look here. Well, what's it say? And we what? Say it, church. We're people of knowledge. We're people that have the truth. And if you have the truth will set you free. Woo! You say, what do you know anyway, preacher? I've heard you're not as smart as you look. I'm not. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But I do know the Bible's the Word of God. I want all y'all to look at me. If the Bible's not the Word of God, we ought to just walk out that door, get into our car, go on home, and forget about it. Somebody help me preach. But see, I know the Bible is the Word of God. Let the Southern Baptists argue. Let everybody else argue. You can talk all you want to. I believe the Bible's the Word of God, and I believe your King James Bible is the Word of God. See, because I know that, my whole faith, my whole outlook, everything I have is based on the fact that this is the Word of God. If it's in the Word of God, how can I tell Judy O'Brien that He'll never leave you nor forsake you? How can I tell you that He's a friend that's closer than a brother if you can't trust it? But I tell you, you can trust it. I can tell you, if you trust Him as Savior today, you'll have a Bible as your guide. Whew. I'll tell you something else I know. I know the blood still works. Hey, January 31st, 1973, I was saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood, and I'm saved today and still saved by cause of the blood. And then I believe in the blessed hope still wonderful. I was just thinking. And I want all y'all to know this. Everything you're seeing right now in this world is leading to the coming of Christ. Now, I don't like some of the things being cast at us. But I'm making the best of my life. But I want you to know something. It's leading to a one world government. It's leading to a one world religion. Come on. Hey, by the way, they don't care what the Muslims say, and they don't care what the Jehovah Witnesses say, and they don't care about all those cults say, but they do care what I say. Because, see, we still believe in the blood, and they just can't wrap their arms around that I know there's a blood that cleanses us from all sin. And that He's coming one day. Oh, I saw a politician over at Applebee's the other day, one of the state politicians. He was over grappling with something. I won't tell you who it was because some of you probably voted against him. I did. But anyway, I looked at him and he looked like he was confused as a termite in a yo-yo. And he says he's a Christian. I said, "You okay?" I walked by him, had my mask on, said, "You okay?" I mean, man, he was sweating right in the air conditioner. Had all them papers in front of him. I said, "Can I give you some good news?" He said, "What?" That was kind of blunt. "What?" I said, "Jesus is coming." I'm certain of it. Let me go on. Because some of y'all ain't got all this yet. Then I see, just break the verse down. Read the verse with me. And we know, number two, that all things work together. That's the circumference of His promise. Not most things, not some things, but all things. There's some of you in this room. I have faced some things in my life, and you know what I made this statement for. I know none of y'all made it. Y'all's all real perfect Christians. Brother Larry, you want to say it? Mary, said you're a new member. You want to say it? Have you ever said it? Maybe I'm the only one who can say this. How in the world can this work out for my good? Now, y'all ever said that? How in God's name is this working out for my good? You ever said that? Well, I guess everyone, y'all spiritual. I'm going to just quit and let y'all come and preach. Let me say four things after that. I don't even know if I'll get all my preaching time. Do you know sweet things work for our good? Home, family, wealth, salvation. Oh, I wish I could dwell on that. I'm one of the happiest people in the world because all that sweet stuff God has given me works for my good. But I don't want to upset you. But sorrowful things work for your good. David said, "It is a good thing for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." And then the Romans 8:28 of the Old Testament. Joseph, after being put in the pit and in the prison and Potiphar's house, when his brothers came and faced him, he looked at them and said, "You meant it for evil." Somebody raise your hand. But God meant it for good. I'm not going to tell you you're going to leave this world without sorrow. You're not. But I am going to tell you that God allows a little sweetness and a little sorrow. Now listen to this. And do you know that satanic attacks work for our good, Jeremy? How many's ever heard this? Tell me, raise your hand if you've heard this. Paul was given a thorn in the flesh. Now, who gave it to him? God? No. He said it was a messenger of the devil. Do you know your pastor? For 42 years have stood here on your behalf. And I'm not the only one. And I have been attacked. And we have been attacked. And you might say, Did it hurt you when you were under attack? Did it upset you when you were under attack? Did it change your mood when you was under attack? Yes. But I want you to know, those attacks by the devil has done nothing but made me more strong, have made me more resolute, have made me more firm in my beliefs, made me more steadfast. Somebody ought to help me preach. Some of you might as well get it in your mind that you're going to have an attack from the devil. The devil's going to do it. But I want you to know, it's all working for your good. Now I can leave this one off and probably get out of here happy. Even sinful things were for our good. You know what? If you say in this room you're lily white, you're a liar. You know, we've all committed sin. And by the way, before I was saved, I was an outlaw. And there might be some outlaws here. But I want you to know something. Just put that in too. You know, sin can be a lesson. And I'm not advocating doing it, but I'm going to tell you what. If you do it and you get right, by the way, it can be a great lesson to you and help you in the future to avoid the pitfalls of the devil. Somebody help me preach. Yeah. I don't think they got it. I want to walk down there so bad. I'm probably not going to get done this morning. Anybody in here ever done anything that you needed a second chance for? See, most of us, for our real badness, we don't give anybody a second chance. Have you ever said anything that was stupid? How many's glad that you got a God of second chances? Hey, if I wouldn't have sinned, if I did some doof-up, stupid things, I want you to know I'm glad that he didn't throw away the clay. I'm glad he didn't say, John, I'm done with you. I'm glad God didn't say, you're finished. He said, okay, just get it right now. Don't do it again. Here's a chance. Yes, and actually, this sermon ain't going nowhere where I thought it was going. Y'all still with me? Then I see the cooperation. Look, y'all reading this verse? And we know that all things work. Say it with me. Work what? They cooperate. Woo! I know I've told this illustration. Susie, you're a good cook, but there's one thing you can't cook better than my wife. No, you just can't do it. You're the best. She brought me a new dessert the other day. I was just in my first stride of a diet. Raised that thing in front of me. You said, did you resist temptation? Absolutely not. But I've told this story. I just kid about my wife doing it better than you. I'm not H or so. I'll give you a chance. My wife makes, in my estimation, the best cat head biscuits in America. Better than you, Miss Sussman. I'm sorry. And you're a great cook. I mean, how many's ever had a cat head biscuit? Some of you don't even know it. Hey, Jessica, you know what one is? See there? Have you ever made one? Rachel, you ever made one? You don't even have a clue, do you? God bless these millennials. Now, I don't know what all goes in it, Susie. But I seen her put some oil in it, and batter in it, and salt in it, and 45 different ugly things in it. One day she said, come over and tell me if this tastes good. You know what she gave me? She gave me a spoonful of that batter. You said, did you eat it? Well, I'll pay my wife. And I put that sucker in my mouth. You know how long it was in there, Colton? It was in there about 2 seconds. Long enough for me to go, oh, I ain't supposed to do that. I mean, it was bitter. But then she done something that was miraculous. She put them in that little round pans, you know. Put them in there. And I watched them go in the oven. And the heat was turned on them. Watch out. And about 30 minutes later, or maybe not that long, they come out. She gave me some real cow butter. Some of you backsliders, oh, y'all eat some margarine. Put some cow butter on them. I put it on there. Put them together. I ate half a biscuit in one bite. The butter come down here and I licked it off. And that's the best tasting thing I've ever had in my whole life. And you said, but preacher, all that stuff in there was nasty. But when all that stuff was mixed together and put under a little heat. See, I want you to know God has all this stuff mixing together and you're getting put under a little heat. But I want you to know what's going to come out of the furnace is a masterpiece. They just cooperate together. I have so many points under that. Now listen to this. I don't even know if I'm going to get all this done. Y'all okay with me? The conclusion. All things work together. Say it. For what? Cancer by itself surely isn't good. Being a diabetic is not good. Having somebody put their finger on your face and talk to you like a dog is not good. But when it's mixed in God's stirring pan, and when God mix it up, God, I want all y'all not, if you get anything from my message, I ain't going where I thought I was going. If you get anything, everything that God does is good, and I don't want to hear you ever one time in your mouth tell me that God done something bad in your life. God ain't never done anything bad in your life, but He has took all the bad in your life and put it in the crucible of His love and the chemistry of His cross and made it good. I looked for a hanky, couldn't find one. No, hold on. Well, I just got 5 minutes left. The condition. Now, hold on. Hey, Colton. All things work together for the good of them. They say it for me. Or them that what? Say it, Colton. You a preacher? That love God. That's the condition. Hey, if you don't love God, they ain't working out for you. If you ain't saved, it ain't working out for you. Actually, life's a bummer. Life's a mess. Everything in your life's a mess outside of God. Are y'all listening? He said, if you love me, what did he say? You'll keep my commandments. He said, we love Him because He first, what? Loved us. Whew. Now, anybody getting anything out of this? Here's the thing. Unless you're saved, ain't none of this making no sense to you this morning. And unless you're obedient, you're not experiencing what I'm preaching. I'm just telling you, unless you're obedient, you're not experiencing it. See, it takes obedience, Chad. Do y'all all know that I'm stuck? I'm stuck. See, there's people in this room right now. You're about half mad at God. But it's quiet in here now. And I know some of you are saying, well, I wouldn't admit it. Well, I've foolishly been mad at God before. When my dad died, I was half angry. I led him to God. He was my number one supporter. And I was about half mad until God showed me it's working for your good. Right now, I'm trying to dial back a little bit. Y'all know that I'm not preaching quite as crazy as I usually do. Just because I'm dialing back a little bit, I want to be here for the long term to haunt y'all. But I got a disease that when they shot me the second time, Roger, and they put the shockers on me the second time, after it already done it 6 weeks before, here's what the cardiologist says. You're going to live with this the rest of your life, and it will be your thorn forever. And I'm reminded of that. 3 weeks ago, my Merlin showed up at WVU and it said my heart was racing. It upset me. But I want y'all to know your preacher is the man he is today because affliction. I'm a man of faith today. I'm a man that trusts God today. I'm a man that knows God has everything under control, and I may not get this done this morning. I wanted to give you the best part, but I think you need this part. You got a preacher today. Yes, I've been afflicted. Yes, you've been afflicted, but it ain't no time to throw in the towel. God will work in your affliction to make you stronger and more of a benefit to people when they see you going through what you're going through. I got two more points to go. I only got one. Done. Is that all right? Now, I want to ask you a question. I don't want to be rude. And they fold me up. Are you saved? How many know you're saved? Raise your hand. Not everybody in this room can raise their hand. Do you know God has been working in your life to bring you to this point this morning that you'll trust Him?
Amen.
And that the rest of your life can be in the crucible of His love? Somebody help me preach. Anybody in here, the devil's beating up on you. You made some mistakes. You made some errors. And you can't even hardly forgive yourself. And you're aggravated most of the time. And you haven't been obedient like you ought to. How many Christians raise your hand now and say, pray for me, preacher. I need to be totally obedient. Come on, raise them up over here. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Promise you this ain't where this sermon was going to go. But it's where God told me to go. How many right now, if you're here, and if you die today, you'd be in hell. But you don't want to go to hell. And you can see God had a big plan in your life. And you really want to be a Christian before you die. Raise your hand and say, pray for me. Anybody? Come on, sit down. I promise you I won't bother you. I promise you I won't. I promise you. Bless that hand. Is there somebody else not saved? Just raise it up and say, pray for me. How many Christians say, I need some help this morning. I've been bitter. I've been angry. I've been out of sorts. And I want you to pray for me. Raise your hand. Come on. Stand with me. I want everybody that thinks you need something here this morning, need to have a little talk to Christ, come around this altar.